In an era where there's a perception that blameless technology vendors don't cooperate as they used to, Main Menu has learned that developers of popular screen reading and magnification software are working together to ensure that their products can exist on higher-end versions of Microsoft Windows. Under Windows NT 2000 and XP, the way in which assistive technology vendors have had to hook into video display information has caused headaches for those with more than one assistive technology product on their computer. It's currently necessary to ensure that products are uninstalled last to first, or it could render a system unstable or useless. A new joint industry standard developed by GW Micro in conjunction with Microsoft, Display Chaining Manager, or DCM for short, promises to alleviate many of these problems. Although there may be a few issues for people upgrading to the new standard, once installed it will allow products to be uninstalled in any order. There are, however, still some outstanding issues not completely resolved by DCM, and it's these issues that the new compatibility initiative proposed by Freedom Scientific and GW Micro will be resolving. Microsoft is looking to uncork a bottleneck of its software and services in the home by selling networking products starting this autumn, company representatives said. The software giant has a team developing 802.1b wireless home networking products within the same hardware division that creates keyboards and mice. Company representatives declined to comment on the details of the future products, but said that entering the home networking market was in line with the software giant's interests. An industry coalition has unveiled standards for identity authentication on the internet, the first step towards making the task of remembering long lists of website passwords a thing of the past. The Liberty Alliance includes companies like Sun Microsystems, Sony, American Express, and others. The standard is designed to make it easier to log into different systems, from making online purchases to checking bank or credit card accounts, while making different authentication systems speak the same language. The realm is currently dominated by Microsoft, whose passport system runs on about 200 websites. Privacy advocates, however, say the creation of a single identification standard will make it easier for businesses to profile internet users for marketing purposes. Microsoft and Liberty members have discussed Microsoft joining the alliance, but no deal has been struck. Microsoft hasn't yet seen the Liberty standard. And while Microsoft says it agrees a single Internet ID standard is a good idea, it wants Liberty to use Microsoft's passport system. The agreement is to get tough with rogue online traders in an attempt to make e-commerce more attractive to consumers. Trading standards officers around the UK are being given £500,000 to identify internet scams and fraudsters. One will look at whether the easy access to loans and finance online has had an effect on consumer debt. In Scotland, officers will investigate dot-com chemists in the UK and abroad that are selling potentially dangerous prescription medications on the internet. Another project will look at the impact of e-commerce via digital TV services. Six other projects will also share the funding. Three-quarters of staff dismissed for inappropriate internet use were downloading porn in the workplace, according to a survey published last week. Nearly 75% of companies have taken disciplinary action against staff for internet misuse, with a quarter having dismissed workers. Of those, 69% were fired for accessing pornographic websites. Of the 544 company human resource managers surveyed, 72% said they had been forced to deal with internet misuse. Some 40% of complaints came from co-workers who felt that their colleagues were spending too much time surfing and not enough working. The research carried out by the software company WebSense and Personnel Today magazine found that chat rooms, 26%, and personal emails, 23%, were the next most common causes of internet-related complaints. Racist material, gambling, and weapon sites were also frequently mentioned. More than half of managers preferred to deal with complaints by having a quiet word with workers, but around a quarter of cases ended with dismissal. Nearly one-third of US mobile phone users plan to upgrade their handsets within a year to get new features such as voice recognition, text messaging, and downloadable ringtones, according to a study released on Monday. A joint study by wireless research firm Telefear Incorporated and market research firm Harris Interactive Incorporated found that 31% of current wireless subscribers aged 18 and older plan to buy a new handset within a year, up from 27% a year ago. This was essentially flat with 6 months ago, despite the economic slowdown. The survey of 51,000 respondents found that 80% of prospective phone upgraders wanted full address book applications on their next phone, 74% wanted voice recognition features, and 67% want short text messaging. U.S. wireless telephone companies are in the process of launching advanced wireless networks with high-speed internet connections, allowing users to surf the web, send each other photos, and download music. They're hoping the new higher-speed wireless data capability will become the new catalyst for growth in an industry that has seen a slowdown in the rate of new subscribers signing up for services. The music arm of struggling media conglomerate Vivendi Universal on Tuesday said it will work with the company's digital music operation to offer subscription music downloads. Universal Music Group, the world's largest music company, said it would offer the content of about 1,000 of its albums, primarily from its back catalogue, through eMusic.com, a unit of Vivendi Universal Net USA. Among the artists included in the new licensing program were B.B. King, Jimmy Buffett, The Four Tops, Joe Cocker, Ringo Starr, and Stevie Wonder. eMusic subscribers gain full rights to burn the files they've downloaded onto CDs or to transfer them to portable music players, as opposed to some other subscribers' music services, which place restrictions on how and where the files can be transferred and used. Time Warner Cable will start letting some of its customers pause live television and digitally record programs through a new set-top box that's similar to those sold by TiVo and Replay TV. The nation's second-largest cable company said it will offer the cable set-top boxes with digital video recorders by the end of summer in some markets. Time Warner said it isn't yet sure where the services will be offered or at what price. The decision seems at odds with the position of executives in other parts of the AOL Time Warner empire who've expressed alarm at the impact of personal video recorders are having on the broadcast networks that rely on advertising for revenue. Last week, for example, Jamie Kellner, chairman of Turner Broadcasting System, also owned by AOL Time Warner, said television viewers could face paying for channels that they now receive at no cost if PVRs kill commercials. Devices such as Replay TV's features a button on the remote control that automatically skips ahead 30 seconds. It's marketed as a way to zap television commercials. The product also lets viewers send programs to others via the internet. The ad skip feature is also included in boxes marketed by satellite TV provider EchoStar as part of its Dish TV network. Rival DirecTV also offers a digital recorder device, but not the option to skip commercials or swap programs over the internet. The devices also frighten the major studios who make television programs as well as the networks that broadcast them. The movie studios have sued Sonic Blue, makers of Replay TV, claiming copyright infringement. Time Warner Cable said it will offer set-top boxes made by Scientific Atlanta in an attempt to compete with satellite TV, and though the devices will allow viewers to fast-forward programs, they will not include the controversial ad-zapping feature. The most influential email list among computer hackers is going corporate. BugTrack, the place where most of the world's most influential computer hazards are made public, was purchased by Symantec Corporation for $75 million cash. For years, hackers have sought publication on BugTrack for prestige and attention, and to dress up their resumes, since BugTrack is the computer security world's equivalent of a professional journal. Most computer security workers subscribe to the list as an early warning system to hear about new flaws and to learn how to guard systems against them. Most computer criminals subscribe too, since the list is a constant source of new methods of breaking into computers. Big-name flaws like Code Red and Nimda were first published on the BugTrack, along with thousands of other flaws in Windows, Linux, and Unix software. This acquisition will broaden Symantec's leadership in internet security response with the addition of the world's first global threat management system, the most complete vulnerability database, and customizable alert services, says John W. Thompson, Symantec's chairman and chief executive officer, in a press release. High technology and Hollywood executives came to an impasse this week over who shoulders the responsibility for keeping pirates from stealing digital movies, music, and other artistic works. The debate possibly holds the future of the internet as a key distributor of such works, which many believe is the next frontier for the online world. On Monday, technology executives including Microsoft's Steve Ballmer, Dell Computer's Michael Dell, and Intel's Craig Barrett said in an open letter to entertainment industry executives that they were not about to create technology that limits computer users' ability to copy and The letter was in response to a missive from executives from Disney, News Corporation, and others, urging curbs on technology that lets users freely copy digital movies, music, and other content. The debate was touched off in February when the technology executives urged entertainment executives to cooperate in an effort to create standards for the safe distribution of digital works. Microsoft Corporation is unveiling a new version of its MSN Internet service, a multi-million-dollar redesign that it hopes will lure customers away from America Online. MSN 8, which will be launched this autumn, includes new features designed to simplify and personalize how people use the Internet. For example, the new version allows users to easily send pictures in email, pay bills electronically, and for parents, restrict what their children see on the web and even who they email. It also reflects a new push by MSN, which has never made a profit in its 6 years of operation, to bring in more revenue, said Lisa Gurry, MSN product manager. Microsoft has spent hundreds of millions of dollars on developing MSN 8, but the new features are for its paying internet subscribers rather than for those who visit MSN's free news, finance, and entertainment website. A key internet decision-making body is weeks away from naming the new guardian of one of the internet's oldest and most popular domains. The Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, or ICANN, is poring over applications to decide who will take over the .org registry from VeriSign. VeriSign's Network Solutions Division has had custody of .org since the US government awarded it the contract for domain name administration a decade ago. ICANN, a non-profit private sector corporation, was formed in 1998 with the mandate to introduce more competition into the market for domain names. That involved breaking Network Solutions' monopoly control over the three primary top-level domains, .com, .net, and .org. In March 2001, VeriSign agreed to relinquish .net and .org. ICANN subsequently issued a call for applications to take over .org as of January 1, 2003. Through the end of the year, VeriSign retains control of the .org registry, essentially giving it wholesale rights over .org addresses. Its rights to the .com registry are good through 2007. VeriSign's successor in controlling .org will be chosen by ICANN's board of directors. Advising the board is ICANN's domain name supporting organization, in particular that organization's non-commercial domain name holders constituency. ICANN is scheduled to post evaluations of the 11 applications on July the 22nd and to announce a successor to VeriSign on August the 1st. We'll keep you posted. In a win for the big wireless operators but a loss for consumers, the FCC has decided to make cell phone users wait another year before allowing people to switch carriers without losing their phone numbers. Congress in 1996 said that people should be able to keep their traditional phone numbers when they switch telephone companies. That same year, the FCC mandated wireless carriers to allow number portability. But after already granting carriers an extension on the deadline to meet the requirements, the FCC on Tuesday postponed it again, this time until November the 24th next year, a year after the previous deadline. While the FCC says the mandate is necessary to ensure consumer choice and competition in the marketplace, it agreed to extend the deadline to give carriers more time to adjust. Major cell phone carriers like Verizon Wireless, Sprint PCS, and AT&T Wireless oppose the requirement, citing a loss of revenue and technical hurdles. But smaller carriers like Nextel Communications and San Diego-based Leap Wireless support the measure as a way to gain more customers. A California software company must stop delivering ads that pop up unauthorized when surfers visit the websites of several prominent media companies, a federal judge has ruled. U.S. District Judge Claude Hilton in Alexandria, Virginia, issued the preliminary injunction on Friday in a lawsuit that 12 major media companies filed last month against Gator of Redmond City, California. The plaintiffs, including parents of The Washington Post, The New York Times, and USA Today, accused Gator of parasitic behavior. No date has been set for the trial. Janet Collum, an attorney for Gator, said company officials were considering an appeal of the injunction, confident it will win the case at trial. "We believe strongly that the facts of the law are on our side," she said. Gator, which runs an ad network that claims 22 million active users and 400 advertisers, produces pop-up ads that appear when computer owners that have its software browse websites targeted by Gator's advertisers. Internet users get Gator advertising software when they install a separate product for filling out online forms and remembering passwords. Gator also comes hitched with free software from other companies, including game and file sharing programs. As users surf the web, Gator runs in the background and delivers advertisements on top of what the surfer would normally see at the site. Microsoft on Tuesday gave an official name to an upcoming version of Windows XP that aims to make the PC a permanent part of the home entertainment center. Originally codenamed Freestyle, this entertainment version of Windows, which will go by the name Windows XP Media Center, will appear on new PCs and PC hybrids in time for the holidays, the company revealed on Tuesday. With Windows Media Center, consumers will be able to use a TV remote control to catalog songs, videos, and pictures, as well as check TV listings. MPEG LA, a group of patent holders governing MPEG 4, on Monday finalized licensing terms for the media delivery standard, bowing to market pressure for manageable royalty rates. "We've met a lot of the concerns that have been expressed in the marketplace," said Lawrence Horn, spokesman for the group, which represents 18 patent holders that have claim on the underlying MPEG 4 technology. "We've built a licensing model that's usable in the industry. Under the new terms, owners of website content can license the latest video and audio compression format for 25 cents per subscriber or 2 cents per hour, subject to a $1 million annual cap. Also, MPEG LA set a minimum threshold so that content owners with fewer than 50,000 subscribers aren't subject to royalties. The fees are applicable to website operators that benefit commercially from use of the technology through either paid advertisement, pay-for-view services, or subscriptions. MPEG 4 is the successor to MPEG 1 and MPEG 2, the technologies behind the MP3 audio explosion. Like its predecessors, MPEG 4 compresses audio and video technologies that condense large digital files into smaller ones that can be easily transferred via the web. In February, MPEG 4 LA had proposed fees without thresholds or caps, prompting fear among those multimedia companies who were interested in using the standard that it would be too costly to stream media over the internet using the format. Apple Computers, which bases its multimedia player on the standard, rejected the proposed royalty rates, throwing the future of its QuickTime media player into uncertainty and delaying its launch. But in recent months, MPEG LA showed signs of acquiescing to market demands, culminating in the early release of Apple's QuickTime 6 in the absence of a final licensing agreement. On Monday, Apple introduced the final version just hours before terms were made public. In a consultation document released by the United Kingdom Cabinet Office, the government is seeking views on how the internet can help it counter declining public enthusiasm for elections and the democratic process in general. The paper, dubbed In the Service of Democracy, focuses largely on the development of new electronic voting systems and the potential expansion of recent trials of remote polling solutions using the web, telephone, and SMS. The move reflects the government's concern over participation at the last general election in 2001, which saw around 40% of voters staying at home. Several pilot schemes involving internet kiosks, SMS and telephone voting were carried out by councils in the local elections in May with mixed success. Another area of focus for the government is improving its engagement with the public between elections. The proposals include interactive public consultations. The consultation also seeks views on the potential use of the internet and other technologies, such as SMS, in campaigning by political parties and legal issues arising from the activity. And that's News Briefs for this week.